Our first reading today comes from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered, and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these people who we hear speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Croatians and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men and women of Judah, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to me. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
The second reading comes from John 15, 26 to 27, and John 16, 4 to 15. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The wisdom of God.
I wonder if any of you have been watching the documentary on Sunday evenings about the Queen's Jubilee, the Diamond Queen. Yes, some of you have. I've been watching that. I found it quite interesting. One of the things, when people are asked about what is the value of the monarchy, one of the things that people in the documentary, and these are people from the UK, that they keep saying is the importance of continuity. They are a symbol of continuity in the midst of governments that change, in the midst of new prime ministers, new presidents, new events in the world. The monarchy is a symbol of continuity. They also say, or it also seems, that the times that the monarchy become less popular, that they are less welcome, are certainly, yes, times when they offer continuity, but times when they neglect to notice the differences in the world around them, when they don't actually make the changes they need to make. And one of the reasons that it's thought that the Queen is now very popular and remains popular is her willingness to get that blend between continuity and the change to embrace difference that she needs to make. Continuity and difference. John's Gospel reminds us that Pentecost is about continuity, about the continuity of Jesus' ministry, even beyond the time that he's physically present on earth. It's about the continuity of the divine presence, even once Jesus is no longer among them. Part of the Spirit's role is to help the disciples remember what Jesus taught, to help them become the vital link in the chain between Jesus and all he did and said, and all those people who did not have a chance to hear and meet Jesus in person. The Holy Spirit helps the disciples become that vital link between Jesus and future generations, including us. Jesus tells them that the Spirit will enable them to understand what matters when it comes to following him, what matters when it comes to living in the reign of God, in the reality of the divine vision. The Spirit, Jesus tells them, will enable them to know how to live the life of Jesus in the world. And the life of Jesus bears the life of God into the world. The coming of the Spirit is about witnessing to and enabling the life of God in the world, just as the story of Jesus is about the life of God in the world, about the setting free of love and justice and freedom, even amongst humans who reject and try to destroy that life. Pentecost is about continuity between the life and ministry of Jesus and those that follow. And it's about continuity with the life of God, which has been present since the beginning of the world, present in creation, present in the unfolding of creation, in shaping creation, sustaining creation. Jesus is not the first to bear God's life in the world. God's Spirit has been known in faithful human lives before, but the life of Jesus marks a new understanding of how faithful human beings can be bearers of God's life, how they can be bearers of God's love and justice in the world. And as Peter tells us in Acts, this includes all people. All people. There is no limit to the sort of people, old and young, men and women, rich and poor, people from nearby Jerusalem and from far away. There is no limit to the sort of people who can be drawn by the Spirit into the life of God and live that in all the places of need in the world. This community of people here at Morialta is a collection of such people. All sorts of people. All sorts. Just have a look around. People called by the Spirit to be part of sharing God's life in worship and learning together, in caring for one another, in serving the world. People called to continue the story of Jesus in the world. But continuity does not mean sameness. It doesn't mean that we keep doing the same things, and it doesn't mean drawing together all these people with all these differences and somehow expecting them to turn out the same. When the Spirit came in such a new, yet not totally unexpected way that day in Jerusalem, it moved among the people there, opening up communication, enabling community, making new possibilities for relationships. But the coming of the Spirit does not erase their differences. The Spirit doesn't cause the people that are gathered there to suddenly understand the same heavenly language. But instead, it allows understanding in languages from all over the earth, or at least all over the earth as it was understood in those days. No, the coming of the Spirit doesn't erase the differences. Instead, it embraces the fact that we are all made so wonderfully different and have lived through a wide variety of experiences and histories. God meets us in the messiness of our differences, in the messiness of different languages, and God does not ask us to speak some mystic common language. Instead, God chooses to speak our many languages. God does not speak in a divine language beyond our comprehension, but in a language that is understood by men and women, people of all ages, people of all backgrounds. At Pentecost, God speaks in Aramaic and Greek and all those other ancient languages which I'm glad that Lachlan had to say and I'm not going to try. Today, God continues to speak in Greek and Hebrew, in German and Chinese and Hindi and Portuguese, English and Arabic and Dinka. At Pentecost, God makes God's choice clear. God joins us in the midst of the messiness and the difficulties of speaking different languages, eating different foods and living in different cultures, and tells us, even with those differences, especially with those differences, we can be God's community together. The problems that we face across cultures and even within cultures are not problems because of our differences. It is when we rank those differences to use them to determine who's in and who's out, who's better, who's inferior. It's then that they become a problem, then that we devalue and disrupt God's gift of differences. It's when we insist everyone has to be like us. Reading something about this during the week, and a marriage counsellor was saying, he always knows there's a problem when somebody insists that it says in the service that the two shall become like one. Well, I'm the one that that we are to become. We need to set aside prejudices that arise out of differences. They are not part of our living of God's life. But we also need to give up on the idea that differences are a problem to be solved, that everything would be better if we were all the same and we were all like me. Today we celebrate that the Spirit continues to move amongst us, drawing new people into community to share in the continuing ministry of Jesus, in the mission of God, and in a way that doesn't expect us to always stay the same. We welcome new people who move from different places, different experiences of church and life. Last year, we welcomed Adam as he confirmed his faith in this new community. We were so glad to welcome the person that he is. Today, Adam is part of this community that he has helped shape. Part of the community, part of the continuity that gladly welcomes Katrina and Lachlan as they affirm their faith, declaring their readiness to be part of the continuing life of God in the world. Katrina and Lachlan, We rejoice that God has called you, and we give thanks for the different people that you are and the way that you help us continue the ministry of Jesus in taking the life of God into the world. Indeed, I give thanks for each of you, for the very different ways that each of you here bring our community into continuity with the ministry of Jesus here at Morialta. Thanks be to God for the work of the Spirit among us, the work of the Spirit that connects us with God's people, God's varied and different people, in all places and in all times.